Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel, links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. Yeah, something I want to add to that story about Guatemala is that, I don't want to make a promise and it doesn't come to pass, so I'm just telling y'all what we're working on. There's a very strong possibility, because we just found out that the Guatemalan government has opened up to where we will be able to get passports for the children. And then that means we can get visas for them, and they can leave Guatemala. And so we're working on that. Possibly when Bethany is here, which is actually going to be the very last Sunday of January, she's going to come here. There's a possibility that five of the college-age kids may be with her. So that's praise God. So all of these children that you've been helping sow into for all these years, you're actually going to get to meet some of them. And so it's going to be cool. I really want to do something big for them. I want them to know how much we love them. And it'll be such an honor to have them come. And so it's going to be wild. That's all I can tell you. So anyway, praise God. That's good. Amen. So open up your Bibles. And go to the book of Luke chapter 8 this morning. I don't think we're through with Luke chapter 8. I just was up early this morning, and I don't know if I'm preaching this message just to me, and so if I am, y'all just, it's Pastor's Appreciation Month anyway, y'all just say, well, Pastor needed that one, okay? And just let me have it, okay? And if you can join in and if it fits in your life, well, then you can apply it. But, I mean, this is just speaking to my heart of my life right now and everything and trying to learn. You know, Brother Ivan preached a message out of the blue on Wednesday night talking about the rest of God and about entering into rest. And this morning, I want to show you something here out of the story. We've been speaking to it. I thought last Sunday, just honestly, was probably the best message I've preached in a long time. I loved it, listened to it again myself. It encouraged me, blessed me. But there's something about sometimes the Lord just gets on a story and He just keeps trying to drill it home to us and drill it home to us. And so this story here in Luke chapter 8 of Jesus and the disciples trying to cross the Sea of Galilee, let's just pick it up here in verse 22. It says, now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. Everybody say they launched out. In case you don't know this, they call it the Sea of Galilee, but it's really a big lake, okay? It's a pretty good-sized lake. It's about, at its widest point, about 8 miles wide, and from the longest point, one end to the other, it's about 13 miles wide. So it's a pretty good-sized lake. It's not a real deep lake. The deepest point is about 200 feet. So, I mean, 200 feet is pretty deep, but, it's not like they call it the sea, but it's not much of a sea. And it says, but as they sailed, he, Jesus, fell asleep. And a windstorm came up on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. Now, I did a little research because I wanted to explain this to you, because it doesn't seem much, unless you're in a pretty small John boat, that you're going to get in trouble out on a big lake, okay? But what happens is that in the Sea of Galilee, right where it's at, like I said, it's only about 200 feet deep. And as you cross from one side to the other, there's mountains that are on the other side, and they rise up quickly, and they're about at 2,000 feet. Well, the Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level. And because of the currents, the wind currents and the wind shear and the temperature of the water, at whatever can occur can happen almost instantly. And they can go from, a calm sea to a raging storm just like that, just quick as it can be. So apparently that's what happened to these guys. And it says they came to him and they awoke him and they said, Master, Master, we're perishing. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the sea, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they were afraid, marveled, and said one to another, Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now, I told you last week that these guys are professional fishermen. And they're in a boat, and they know how to handle themselves on the water. It's not like this is the first time they ever went sailing, and they didn't know what they were doing. These guys knew what were going on. And I'm telling you, I believe this with all of my heart, that if they said they were in trouble and perishing, they were in some serious trouble. They were thinking they were going to be trying to swim. And I don't know about y'all, but even if I was in the middle of it, I don't think I'm going to swim 4 miles. Y'all with me? So they're looking at, and I doubt they had, you know, a Coast Guard approved life vest. Right? So they're thinking, when they said they're going to perish, I'm telling you, these professional, hardcore fishermen felt like the boat's going down and we're going to sink. And the whole time this is all going on, pitching and bucking in the waves and everything's going on, Jesus is laying right there asleep in the back. Now that strikes me odd, okay? But he's in the back laying on a pillow asleep. And they wake him up. And they wake him up, and I can tell you these fishermen never would have thought what was going to happen. Because they were probably trained by their fathers. They knew their grandfathers had trained their fathers. They knew what they were doing. And when you're in that situation, nowhere in the manual that the father had given the sons was rebuke the storm. It wasn't in there. That's not in their thinking that somebody's going to get up and stand up and rebuke the storm, right? And in our lives, we're trying to, you know, listen to me. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, or I'm just trying to be real honest here. You know, most of us in here, I mean, you know, you weren't raised, you know, like, how do I say this nicely? Maybe you weren't brought up in the best Christian education. Maybe you weren't brought up in the best ways and the means of knowing how to serve Jesus. I went to church all my life and still didn't know how to serve Jesus. I went to church all my life and had never read the Bible. After I got saved and opened up the Bible for the first time, my whole word to my wife every morning was, did you know it said this? Look at what it says. Is this right? Wave your hand if I'm telling the truth. And then I'd say to her, why didn't somebody tell me this? I didn't know it said this. Because I'd never read the Bible. Nobody's fault but my own, okay? But I'd never read the Bible. And so I didn't know this. Well, nowhere would I have ever come up. If I was Peter in the boat, I would have never looked at the storm and said, peace be still. I would have told the guys, come on, dude, you know, we're going down, bail. Get your buckets, bail. Get your buckets. Come on, boy. What are you doing? We got to keep it turned into the wind or whatever they're doing. Y'all with me? Because I would have wanted to operate in the best skill that my father had taught me. And the problem we have in life is a lot of times we're trying to serve Jesus and walk with Jesus, but we're doing it with the skills that our parents taught us of how to live in the world, and you cannot apply the principles to the world to operating and walking in the principles of Jesus, because God doesn't think like man. So, I mean, today, if somebody was blind and they went to the doctor's not going to say, okay, just a minute, let me get some dirt. Here, hold on, just make them some spit. Here, I'm going to spit in this, I'm going to rub this on your eyes, and God's going to hit. You're not going to find that at the doctor's office. That's not in the manual. They didn't go learn that when they were in medical school. They didn't come down through it and say, you know, on certain occasions, rare occasions, you will want to spit in mud and put it on their eyes, and that is the proper healing method for blindness. Are y'all with me? They'd be talking about cornea transplants and this and that and the other, and they'd be looking at this because they're not thinking. But God has a way, and I want to tell y'all this morning, God has a way. He wants to bless your life. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to have a living relationship with you. But you have to understand sometimes you're going to run into situations that when you're going to do it like the Bible says to do it, it's going to be adamantly opposed to possibly what you've learned. I'm not talking about wacko crazy stuff. I'm not talking about some, you know, snake handling crazy stuff. I'm talking about there may be a storm going on in your life today. You may be faced with waves and your boat may be sinking and Jesus is there, but you don't know what to do. Some people wouldn't go wake Jesus up because they didn't want to bother him. I told y'all, I got a friend that you know, he'll tell me something. I said, well, I'll pray about that. He said, no, don't pray about that. You know, no. And I said, what do you mean don't pray about it? And he's like, in his mind, you only have so many prayer cards. Like, you're only going to have so many prayers get answered. So don't be pulling out. Wait, you're going to hold that card for a big one that you really need an answer to prayer on. So don't use up your prayer card. And I'm like, dude, I have an innumerable multitude of prayer cards. It doesn't run out. God's going to answer my prayers now. And then, no, but don't bother him on that. See, and he's like, don't bother Jesus on that. And how many times we get tired and we wear ourselves out and we get frustrated and we're you know, we're off our rockers, pulling our hair out because we're trying to bail out the water and keep the boat going when we should just turn to Jesus and say, Lord, we need some help here. Or you should stand up and rebuke the storm. He's wanting you to do something, and we're expecting him to do something. So therefore, there's, you know, silence on the boat, and we're just bailing because that's all we know how to do. And I know that the ways of God, they don't always line up with the ways of man. But I'm okay with that. As long as I'm seeing results. Forgive your enemies. I don't want to forgive my enemies. That's one of the scriptures I don't like. I do not want to bless my enemies. It does not come in my nature to want to bless my enemies. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just being truthful here. It does not by nature for me to say somebody wrongs me and say, oh, bless them, Lord. I just love them. Just pour out the blessings of God. No, it doesn't. That's not what the first thoughts in my mind are. And I'm working on it because I want to walk in the biblical perspectives, because if I do, and these precepts and this word of God in my life, then I'm going to have victory. And I know it. And I don't want to. I'm tired of going through the process of, I don't want to bless my enemies. All right, I'll bless my enemies. I don't really feel like blessing my enemies. Okay, well, I'll bless my enemies. Well, bless them, Lord. And have to work through this process till I can finally bless my enemies. Are y'all with me? I just want it to be by nature. I understand the law of God. God says it. I'm going to do it. Okay. So with a storm in your life, what was interesting to me is I got to looking at this and I got to thinking about it. And I said, Lord, what did you say to the storm? I knew, but it doesn't say it here in Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have this story in it. So I went to Mark's gospel. So if you want to see it, it's Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Same story. And I'll just read it again. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, he took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were with him also. So now we got another picture. There was other boats there with them. See, they didn't say that in Luke's gospel. There was other little boats with them. So if you think they're having a hard time, imagine what the little boats are having a hard time. So it says, he was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? Listen, he says it differently. You see, that's what I love about having four men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, write the story of Jesus' life, because four men, it all comes in a different perspective. Something could happen right here in this church right now. And then in a minute, everybody goes out there, and four people, you ask them what happened, and all four people would have a little bit of a different story, because each of us see something a little bit different. That's all it is. Well, wait a minute. Look what the way Mark writes the story. He says, they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So in other words, this gives me some insight that somebody on the boat thought Jesus ought to be getting up and doing something. So they were angry with him. They're thinking, what's he doing back there just asleep? I mean, come on. Don't you see us out there bailing? We're going to die out here. What's he doing? That was their attitude towards God. I remember I don't say this quite so often, but when things would go wrong, I would say to the Lord, I mean, have you fallen off the throne up there or what? You say, well, that's horrible to say that. But, I mean, I was kind of being like that. I didn't know. Didn't understand that God was expecting me to do something. And that's what they were saying. Lord, what are you doing? Come on. What are you, can't you wake up? So they're a little angry. So he says, then he arose, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. Now, I'm going to show you something here. You got to understand, when the Bible is written, it was in Hebrew. And then the Bible is translated in the New Testament to Greek. And then we get the Bible translated from Greek into English. All right? Sometimes you got to go back and you got to look up the word in the Hebrew or the Greek to see what the word's really meaning to what it means, because we don't have this enough English words to be as descriptive as all the Greek words. And so you got to seek it out. When Jesus said, peace be still, that peace he was speaking of was not shalom peace. It's not the peace that brings prosperity and blessing and all. Actually, that word was sapeo. And that word means, basically, shut up. It means be still, be quiet, zip the lip. That's what it means. He stood up, and if you notice, it says, he arose and he rebuked the wind. He said to the wind, he spoke to the wind. He spoke to this wind that was blowing around. He says, you need to shut up. Let me ask you this question. And don't raise your hand and don't look down at the floor, because then I know I'll hit you right between the eyes. It's best just to keep a smile on your face and keep looking towards me, nodding your head like, yeah, come on, preacher, preach it. You're speaking to so-and-so, huh? Yeah. How many of you have ever gone through an issue in life? You're trying to forgive somebody, or you've got a debt issue, or you've got a marital tiff going on, you got something going on, and you can't get your mind to quit rehearsing the whole thing. And you're running over and you're setting yourself up as judge and jury, and you really want to be the executioner too, but you can't figure out how to execute it without having to go to prison. So you're... y'all with me here? You know what I'm talking about? So you're trying to think, you're trying to do your job, but the whole time you're mad about this little argument or this little fight going on. That's the storm, church. That's the storm in your life. That's the storm that's blowing in your life, and it's keeping you distracted and keeping you off course, and it's causing you to fight to stay alive, and it's causing you to do extra work by bailing and bailing and bailing water. It's that storm going on in your head. Well, what are he saying? What's he doing? Why didn't he do it? And he said, finally, how many of you have ever said, shut up. I'm tired of rehearsing this. I do not want to talk to you anymore. And then all of a sudden, yeah, but you know. And then you say, I said, shut up. I don't want to talk to you anymore. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know you're going to deal with this. That's the storm. Well, what Jesus did is he stood up and he did what he knew to do. He said to the storm, you be quiet. And he did it in authority, in the authority that he had as the Son of God. Now, you can go in there and you can try to theologize all this thing, if that's even a word. And you can try to figure all this stuff out, and what about this and what about that, and where the wind coming, where the wind coming. Listen, it was a storm, and they happen. Things happen in life just because there's an earth and the way things happen. There's lows, there's fronts, there's highs, there's all kinds of things. Just because a high sits over us and we're cooking out here doesn't mean that it necessarily is demonic. It could just be a weather pattern, and it just sits over you. And you could stand outside and rebuke it all day long, and it really isn't going anywhere. Just don't get mad at me, all you charismatic Pentecostal people. I come from the same roots, but just listen to what I'm saying. What you need to know is you do need to get the master up, because you need to ask him, Lord, what is it that I should be doing? There's going to be certain times in life that you need to stand up in your life and you do need to rebuke the storm. You need to say, listen, you need to be quiet and you need to be quiet now. I'm taking authority over you. I am not going to listen to you anymore. This is not going to be in my life. I declare you're going to stop, and I declare the word of God says, bah, and you're going to let it go. And there's other times things may be happening going on and you're going to have to go to the Lord and you're going to have to wake him up in the boat and you're going to have to say, Jesus, excuse me, but I got some really crazy thoughts going on in my head. And I really don't know what to do. And I really need to ask you to use the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to me and direct me in what is going on, because I seem to be hunting doves with my shotgun as just randomly shooting in the air, hoping something falls. Can you show me how to get on the bird and shoot it? You with me? Okay, so if you don't ever arise and you don't ever speak and you don't ever rebuke, you're not getting anything going. If you're just bailing water and mad because Jesus hadn't gotten up at anything, you're in the wrong place. You're not going to get any answer to prayer like that. And this message is about helping you to get answer to prayer. Okay? Okay, so he goes on, you know, here we go. Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Let's go Old Testament here for a minute. Is this making sense to you? And what I'm calling you to do today is I'm calling you to launch out and to grab hold of this message and then be able to apply it to your life and see some victory. But let's look at something here. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, you know the story. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They've plundered the Egyptians. They've left. They've gone out into the desert. God specifically directs Moses, because they're directed by a big angel in front of them, or a pillar of fire by night, that they're following. He leads them into a box canyon that basically the only way through is the sea, the Red Sea. Now, I don't know how many people in the group were smart enough to think, this is not really a good place to be because there's no way out. I mean, come on, guys. If you're like me, most times when I sit down at a restaurant, the first thing I'm looking for is where's the back door? I want to know how to get out of there if I have to get out of there. Okay? Now, anyway, so I'm picking up verse 10. It says, now when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marching after them. And they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you've taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us and to bring us up out of Egypt? Is not the word that we told told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. I mean, look at what was in their hearts. They're like, we'd have been better just to stay slaves than to come out here into the desert and die by the hand of the Egyptians. All right? And look what Moses says. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, for which he has accomplished for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, in the Hebrew language, there's three words for peace. Here's one of them. And it's the same word, same type word, as I just gave you in Greek. It means, in other words, he says, and the Lord will fight for you and you'll hold your peace. So the Lord's going to fight for you if you'll just shut up. Anytime you see in the Old Testament it says, hold your peace, it's saying, shut your mouth. Keep your mouth shut. Hold your peace. Don't give anybody a piece of your mind. Then you have that much less. Hello? Right? So in the Old Testament, you're reading along, and so-and-so held his peace. That means he didn't say anything. God basically told all the children of Israel right then, he said, look, if you'll just be quiet, don't worry, I'm fighting for you. I'm telling you, church, we at times are our worst enemies. I think there was a movie, I don't know if I ever watched it, but I think it wasn't it called, let's see, what was it called? Sleeping with the Enemy. I never saw it, but I saw the title and I was thinking, Sleeping with the Enemy, that's me. Because at times I'm my worst enemy. If I don't watch my mouth is going to say things it shouldn't say. And I'm actually sleeping with the enemy, which is me and my tongue. Right? Folks, listen to me. This whole world of Christianity, it's not a fairy tale. Whether you know it or not, whether you see them or not, there's angels in here right now. Whether you know it or not, or whether you see them or not, Jesus is in here right now. Whether you know it or not, or you see it or not, or whatever, the angels, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, he's listening right now at everything that comes out of your mouth, and so is the devil. Whether you realize it or not, whether you understand it or not, whether you understand the principle or whether you say you believe in it or not, it doesn't make any difference. It's happening. It's very real. And when Jesus stood up and he spoke in that boat and he spoke to the storm, he said, I want you to shut up. I want you to be quiet. I want you to be still, just like Moses told the people, would you just be quiet and God's going to deliver you. And in your life, you got to understand something. If, you know, I always make this point. Prior to you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about church membership. I'm not talking about you got some letter from some church. I'm not talking about, don't tell me the day that you got baptized in the church. I want to know the day that you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. I want you to be able to tell me that Jesus is real to you and you know that 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 you know down on the inside of your heart that if you die, you're going to meet your Maker. And it's going to be a good meeting. You with me? And when you know that assurance of your salvation in there, then Jesus is in your boat. And if Jesus is in your boat, folks, you're in a good position. I don't care how big the storm is. I don't care how much water you're bailing. If Jesus is in the boat with you, that's a good place to be. But he wants us to grow up and to progress to where we're not always in a storm. I really think Jesus intended the disciples to sail that boat across, even in a stormy sea, get to the other side, and he could get up and say, way to go, guys. How do we know Jesus wasn't faking it back there? Laying with his head on there, the one eye open, saying, oh, come on, guys, just rebuke the storm. I know you can do it. Come on, guys. Oh, come on, man. Don't be getting mad at me. I don't know. I'm just painting with a big brush here, you know, but I'm just saying, he's like, come on. They can do it. Come on, Lord. I just intercede for them, Lord. Let them go. Come on. Let them grab hold of the revelation. They can do it. They're going to the greater sea than me, them that's in the world. Come on. I'm in the boat with you. Oh, guys, come on. We don't know. We'll find out when we get to heaven and watch the DVD and see who's right. But the point is, you know, he may have been training them to get across there in a storm so they could live the life. And what we're all in right now is training so that we can grow and that we can walk with the Lord in fellowship and be able to stand up when the storms come up and the crazies running through our head and stand up and say, be quiet. I'm not listening to that anymore. I'm taking authority of you. That is not godly thinking. That is demonic thinking. I am not going to listen to that. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. That's what the word says. I am blessed and highly favored. That's what the word says. I'm going to walk with you, Lord, all the days of my life. That's what the word says. And all of a sudden, the storm's going to begin to go down because you're standing up taking authority over it. Because I don't know about y'all, but I have never won a battle in my mind by being judge, jury, and executioner. I've never won the battle, and all of a sudden, what's speaking to me says, okay, well, you got a good point. That's right. Okay, well, all right. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I mean, if y'all have got that, I mean, dear Lord, let me sit down. Y'all come up here and preach it and tell me how to do it, because not until I have taken authority over it, got it replaced with what the Word of God says and got that going and seen the victory, do I get deliverance? Does my storm stop? But if you're in the boat with Jesus, man, I'm telling you, that's a good place to be. But now He wants you to do something. He wants you to part some Red Seas. Now, moving along quickly here. I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Now, you know, we're all different. You know, all of us, we kind of talk the same, act the same, have the same kind of thoughts. You know, you go to another part of the country, another part of the world, you know, they may think differently. I, again, still would have never stood up to the ocean and looked at it and said, peace, be still. That's not what would come out of my mouth. Oh, that reminds me. You can't stand up. He spoke to the storm and just told it to be quiet. He didn't stand up and say, I tell you what, you're no good wind. You're blowing our head in. You're trying to sink the boat and cause the rain. I'll not be here in the name of Jesus. You're fired. He said three words. Peace, be still. You can do a whole lot more in faith in the authority than you can by just shouting. Now, sometimes throwing down being Pentecostal feels good because you feel like you chewed everything out and basically cussed in tongues. So you feel better. But I don't know that it moves anything. Are you with me? Faith moves everything. So I would have never used that word peace be still, but you got to understand, Jesus did not say the word peace. Okay, he said the Aramaic word or whatever came out of his mouth, which may have sounded a whole lot better than peace be still. Are y'all with me? I just said, shut up. All right? Point is, when Jesus said the word peace, I don't want to get you the wrong impression of peace. John 14, 27. Jesus says here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That word peace there is the word in Greek that relates back to the word in Hebrew, shalom. When you see a Jewish person, they greet you with shalom, brother. Well, that shalom means, it was the Hebrew word that meant prosperity, blessings, wealth, health. All these words came up. That's what it meant. When you said peace, it meant you just went, all right? In the Greek, it's the same word, but it's erini. And it means prosperity, quietness, rest, health, whole, complete. I think all of us know what peace is, and we know in here what peace isn't, don't we? You know if you have peace in your soul. Right? You know if you have peace in your household. You know what peace feels like. Mainly because you know what turmoil feels like. You know what chaos feels like. And it's the opposite. Peace. Your homes should be homes of peace. You should be able to walk into your home and it's a home of peace. It should be a place, I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's a cardboard box underneath a bridge, it ought to be your home full of peace. Because things around you and surroundings and all your furnishings and all your stuff around you, that does not bring you peace. Peace comes from the Spirit of God. Peace comes from the Prince of Peace. And you can have the nicest house on the block and there be chaos in it. I want peace. If it's in a cardboard box, I want peace. Whenever I walk into a hotel room, any hotel room I go into, first thing I do is I get some anointing oil. If I forgot the anointing oil, then I go find me some oil or something oily. And if I can't find anything oily, I spit on my finger. And I start praying over that room, and I start calling peace into that room, and I start making little crosses over the door and everything else because I want everything that's happened in that room through somebody else's chaos driven out, and I want the peace of God in there. I always make this declaration. I paid for this room. I rented this room. This square footage is mine. So whatever's in here has got to get out because I am spending the night here. Because I want it to be full of peace. I don't want my dreams to be full of torment. I want peace. Peace is the greatest thing on the face of the earth, to have the peace that Jesus is talking about. Now listen to me. He says, I'm going to leave you peace. Hear me now, church, this morning. This is a simple message. Jesus said, I leave you peace. How is Jesus leaving us peace? Nobody called me and sent me a box of peace in, you know, UPS. After I got saved, I didn't get a FedEx package with a never-ending supply of peace that came running along. Are y'all with me? How did he leave us his peace? He left us his peace because he's in the boat with us. He left us his peace because he has made peace between us and Father God. He's left us his peace because there is no wrath of God coming. If the scientists looked at the Hubble telescope and said, wow, that is God. It's written on the front. It's a big giant ship. It's written on the front. It says G-O-D. It's God. He's coming. I'm saying, well, come on. Come on, Papa. I'm ready. There's peace in my heart. I'm not scared to meet my Heavenly Father. Does that mean I've done everything right and I'm perfect? Absolutely not. I've got a revelation of repentance and grace. I'm the blood of Jesus. When you get to heaven, you know what to do? Just plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. Plead the blood. And Mr. Richards, on this night, I plead the blood. And then we have this, I plead blood on that one too. Plead blood. Because that's what the blood's for, is to forgive me and redeem me, to wash me of my sins, to keep me whole and clean, to keep me righteous before my God. That's peace, folks. I got the blood of Jesus. If you don't have that assurance in your heart, that's what you're not, you know, you're not walking in that, you're not going to have peace. Because everywhere I go, no matter where I go, no matter what I'm doing, Jesus is with me. He's in my boat. Or I'm in his. It's every way you want to look at it. I'm not going anywhere without him. Now, there has been sometimes in life when I'm in the flesh and I'm angry, I wanted to ask him to step out for just a little bit and let me do what I want to do, and then can you please come back in? Okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I ask you to repent. Clean me up. You know, but generally the rule is in with me is I want to be in the boat with Jesus, right? I want him there. I want to walk with him. And you know, you may have idiot, crazy thoughts now and then, but I'm telling you what, I want the peace of God in my life. The peace of God can follow you everywhere you go. The peace of God can be in the midst of your storm. What the disciples should have done is been bailing along there and all of a sudden said, what are we thinking? My God, Jesus in the boat. With the boat go down, he's going down with it. He's the Son of God. He can't die in a boating accident. What are we doing? Everybody hang over the side and let's shout hoorah! It's going to be fun. Ride the waves. It's not a storm. It's a surfing event. Come on, guys. Let's see how much air we can get over this next wave. Brad, you know, it's like the story. I know y'all have heard this story. It's just a story, okay? It's not true. It's a story, all right? I don't want anybody to get upset. You know, where this farmer had this old mule, And he really liked this mule to be with him forever, and he didn't really want to shoot the mule. But one day he looked down in there and he noticed that the old mule had tripped and fallen and fell in the well. And then he looked down the well and there's that old mule. And he said, well, good gosh, you know, there's a mule down there. And he said, I was going to have to get rid of that mule anyway. So I guess I'll just, good enough time, I'll just cover the well up and bury the mule. So he got a shovel and started throwing dirt down the well. And so the old mule got to figuring out what was going on. So every time the old boy threw some shovels down there, you know, the mule just stepped up. And the old farmer kept shoveling, kept shoveling, kept shoveling. The mule just kept stepping up and stepping up. And then before long, the old farmer turned around and looked at the mule he was trying to bury. And over there was his head sticking up out of the well. Jumped out of the well and run off. See, the world can be throwing dirt on you, and the world can be trying to bury you, and everything can be going on. But Jesus just said, hey, just pick your foot up. Pick one foot up and then the other, and it's going to be okay. You're just getting higher. You're just getting taller. You're just stepping up on the troubles. You're just, all that trouble, all that storm's just giving you, just ride the wave. Just enjoy it. I'm in the boat with you. Just have a good time. Just go sailing. Just go surfing. It's all right. I'm in the boat with you. Have some peace in your life. When I first got saved, I remember thinking that I thought that everything was going to work perfectly. I thought that was the deal. I get saved, I give Jesus my life, and then my life is a bed of roses after that. If I need anything, I just ask him. If I need anything, and everything's it just will go perfect. And I remember the Sunday when we were trying to get to church, and I've told this story before, but I mean, this is the honest truth. While making the kids toast for breakfast, the little toaster oven caught on fire. Had to throw it outside. So then we had some clothes in the dryer, and the belt broke on the dryer. The dryer went out, and, you know, something happened with it, and it went down. And then I went out to get in the car, and there was a flat tire. And then I got the flat tire fixed and drove down to the end of the road, and the horses were out. Had to get the horses back in. Got to the end of the road, got on the highway, started going. This buzzard from hell flew out of nowhere, crashed inside the car. Went on down the road a little bit. This is an honest to God. Is this the truth? This is true. Went on down the road a little bit before, the biggest hog I'd ever seen in my life ran out in front of us and had to slam on the brake, threw all the kids. And we didn't have car seats in those days. Threw all the kids into the floorboard. You know, get them up, dust them off. And finally, we made it to church, you know. Mad, you know. Got to church and I was like, dear God. Cannot believe this is something's wrong with my life. Somebody needs to pray for me. I've got to be doing something majorly wrong. Nobody should have this much trouble trying to get to church. And then I remember somebody spoke to me and said, you know, Robert, that's the way it goes. And I'm like, wait a minute. I thought I'm a Christian now. I'm in the kingdom, and so everything is perfect. I said, no. That's when you get to heaven. You have to walk between now and then. I'm like, well, I don't know. That ain't much fun. But I've learned in life over these 30 years that yes, there's storms. Yes, there's problems. Yes, there's things that go on. But Jesus is in the boat with me. And as long as I'm saved and I know he's saved, and it's not like I'm having to get saved every other day. You're saved or you're not. I'm not talking about you live a perfect life. That's what communion's for. We're going to take here in just a minute. That's called for repentance. But I'm talking about Jesus is in your boat, you know it. Then if he's in your boat, then he's left you his peace to come into your soul and to be there for you. And if you're not walking in it, folks, listen to me, you're not paying attention to the one that's in the boat with you. You're like the disciples and you're looking at Jesus and saying, why didn't he get him to do something? You've got it wrong. He's in the boat with you. That's the good news. This peace he's talking about. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures here. Psalms 29:11. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, that your peace would have been like a river. And your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus wants you to have peace. Because in peace, then you can hear his voice. And you can follow his direction. Amen? Ladies, can y'all bring the communion down, please? Now, I want to change gears here for just a second. You see, what a fool I would be to preach on peace and to preach on what I just said about Jesus being in your boat and never give anybody an opportunity here to get Jesus in their boat. Look at the person beside you and say, that's really good. If right now, listen to me, right now, if you don't know that Jesus is in your boat, you don't have that peace in your heart to be assured that if you die today, you're going to go to heaven. You don't have that assurance in your heart to know that Jesus is there with you. It's not there, folks. I want you to experience that today. I want you to experience that today. Lord, come up here and play. I want you to experience that because it's the greatest thing in the world. I remember one day I was coming home on a plane and we're getting ready to land in San Antonio. And as the plane's coming down and we're getting lower and lower and lower and lower, and you know, you're about the time you're going to feel that jar where the wheels hit. Man, that pilot threw the coals to that plane, and I mean, he cut her, and we did up like this. And lady was sitting in a seat beside me. She screamed and she grabbed my arm and just went to squeezing it, you know? And I just sat there, you know, and the plane went up and went around, and she was just panic struck. And she says, oh, it scared me, you know, aren't you scared? I said, no, ma'am, I'm not. She says, why aren't you scared? And I said, I'm not dying in a plane crash. And I said, even if I did, I'm just going to go to heaven. And she just looked at me. She said, I want that. And I got to tell her all about Jesus right there. From I don't know how close we were to hitting the plane in front of us. The plane didn't get off the tarmac. His tail was hanging out in the runway. I don't know how close. May not even have been a risk. But it scared her to Jesus. And all I'm saying is I'm not here to scare you to Jesus. I just want you to have peace. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's the glorious, most glorious, glorious thing in the world. Amen? So what I want to do right now is, can I have my pastoral team come up? Y'all that are going to serve communion, come on up. I'm going to do this. Felt like the Holy Ghost told me to. And just turn around and face everybody. Instead of coming up to receive your communion, just come around and face everybody here. I'm not in a hurry. Look, your lunch is going to wait. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know that, you're not assured of that in your heart, well, then I want to pray with you right now. I want to use these people, and I want to pray with you. So let's do it this way. If you want that peace, you don't have that peace, and you want that peace, just stand up and come down. Just stand up and come down here and say, I want you to pray with me. I know everybody's looking. Everybody stand up. How about that? I know everybody's around here. I know there's a lot of pressure because you're like, oh my God, I want to walk up in front of the church. No, listen to me. You're going to find peace. And peace is the greatest thing you've ever experienced in this world. If you're out there and you're watching or listening by tape and you don't have this peace right now, you can make that a part of your life. All you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. That's all you got to say. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart, and He will. And you'll find that peace that will change your life. That will change your life. Now, we're going to have communion right now. And if I have to assume that you know Jesus is in your boat, and so I got to tell you then, we're welcome to have communion with us. We don't have a closed service here. We got an open service. I want everybody that's a believer in Jesus Christ to have communion with us today. And I want you to know that Jesus died so that you could have peace. He paid the price with his broken body so you could partake today of this broken bread and have peace. If you know, if you're just catching a revelation that Jesus is with you here, well then, folks, listen, grab hold of some peace when you come up here. When this piece of bread is handed to you, receive your peace today. Lord, we thank you for it. We bless this in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for it, Lord. And then Jesus took the cup. Folks, this is your sign, your symbol, your representation of the blood of Jesus, who says that if you repent, he forgives you of your sins. Whoo! I like it. How many of y'all in here have ever sinned? Then this is good news here. Because he says right here, this cup is a new covenant poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. You come to the altar and you repent and say, Lord, forgive me. There's forgiveness right here. Clean slate, white as snow, squeaky clean, leaving here in just a minute. Cheap grace? No. Expensive grace. It cost Jesus his life to give it to us. So, Lord, we thank you for this. And we bless it in Jesus' name. Okay, guys, turn around here. Let me serve y'all so you can help me serve this. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ, it's broken for you. The body of Christ broken for you. Thank you, Jesus, for the body of Christ that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord, for peace like a river. Thank you, Lord, for your broken body poured out for you and for me. In the precious blood of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for it, for the blood that washes and covers our sins, the blood that sets us free. Lord, for this precious, precious blood, a new covenant. Says our sins are forgiven as we repent. Thank you, Jesus.